What I want to do this morning is I just want to begin by sharing that when we do have a guest speaker, I enjoy that in several ways. I don't like it all the time. I love to share God's word with you. But one of the things I really like about having a guest speaker, one of the top things I like is the week leading up to them coming. It really frees me up to do a lot of things that should be done around here, but we just don't have time to get done. Because how many people know sermons just don't pop up overnight? I want to let you know it takes several dozens of hours to actually prepare to sit in front of people, stand before people, and to share a message. So on those weeks when we don't, when we have a guest, I really enjoy that week ahead saying, wow, I can do some other things that need to be done. So what I wanted to do this week leading up to our last speaker is I wanted to take that week to grow in my leadership skills. So what I did is I turned to my go-to guy, and my go-to guy is a guy named Pastor Craig Crochelle. How many people have heard of Pastor Craig? You've heard him. You've seen him right here. He's been here via video. Remember Craig? And Craig is a pastor in Oklahoma, and he's a pastor of a church where there's one church, but there's 26 different locations. How many people find that amazing? One church, 26 different locations. And my thought is, if he can do that, I can surely learn something from him, okay? He's a little smarter than me, bigger than me, so I like to go, and I want to just encourage you. He has a leadership podcast, so write this down. If you're in any level of leadership, I don't care what it is, any capacity of leadership, he has a leadership podcast that comes out every month called the Craig Crochelle Leadership Podcast. You don't have to be a pastor. It's for anyone, any area of leadership. Listen to these podcasts. They'll be very, very helpful for you, okay? So what I did on that week off is I began to listen to Pastor Craig talk about something very, very important. And he was talking about the word culture. How many people have heard that word? It's a buzzword, culture. Raise your hand if you've heard of culture. How many people know your family has a culture? Amen? How many people know if you're a coach, your team has a culture, okay? If you're a teacher, your classroom has a culture. If you run a business, your business has a culture. If you have a ministry, you have a culture. This church, I don't know if you know this, but this church has a culture, okay? If you understand that, say, I understand it. All right, okay? And by the way, when Craig was talking about culture, he said three things. So I want every leader to write down these three things. These will be very helpful to you. He said, first of all, healthy cultures never happen by accident. They never happen by accident. If you're going to have a healthy culture, it takes you being intentional about what you're doing. Actually, I say naturally, you'll fall into a bad culture. But healthy cultures never happen by accident. You need to be intentional. Number two, he said this, your culture, and this is powerful. Your culture is a combination of what you create and what you allow. So in your home, in your workplace, if you allow a lot of negative, complaining, grumbling, ugliness, that's going to impact your culture. So we need to make sure that we're careful what we allow to take place in our cultures, okay? Number three, and this is where we're going today with this, he said the number one force that shapes your culture is your values. Everybody say values. So what are values? We talk about values a lot. I'm just going to boil it down to the simplest definition that I know of what a value is. A value is, what are the things that are important to us? In my family, what's important? In my workplace where I lead, on my team where I'm called to be the coach or whatever, what's important? And I want to let you know, what you write down and what you do may be entirely two different things. How many people know your actions need to line up with what you say? Amen? You can say we value one thing, but if you're not living it out, you're not really valuing it. Your actions actually speak louder than your what? Your words. For example, let me just throw out an example to you this morning. In the Bechtold house, we've never written this down as one of our values. We've never written it down, so don't be impressed because it's not very impressive, okay? But one of the values in the Bechtold house is church. Church. We value church. We love church. We're in church all the time. You're saying, of course, you're the pastor. Well, there's times Heather says, you got to go, okay? But anyway, we value church. Church is a high priority. When we're on vacation, you know where we're at on Sunday morning? Church. Can you believe it? Why? Because we love church. So that's one of the values in our home. For example, not yesterday, but a week ago from yesterday, on a Saturday afternoon, I sat down with my phone and I sent my son Grant, he's our oldest son, he's a sophomore in college in Chicago, and I sent him a text message and I said, "Hey Grant, here's the deal." And I didn't tell Heather this, by the way, okay? I said, "Here's the deal. If you will go to church the next 5 Sundays, I'll send you $100. How many people know that's not really good parenting? But to me, church is a value. To me, I know that if Grant gets going to church, God's going to do something. Amen? Do you believe that? So, by the way, don't tell him I was going to send him the $100 anyway. Because God was really leading me to help him out. So I sent him a text. I said, "Grant, if you go to church for 5 weeks, I'll send you $100. And I said, "Oh, by the way, don't show up into the third song in the morning. I want you to be on time." Amen? I want you to be on time. So anyway, last week, this is what it looked like. I was watching the Steeler-Viking game. Everybody say, "Go Steelers." I'm watching the Steeler-Viking game. Don't worry, Packer fans. You'll get your chance against the black and gold soon. But anyway, we were watching that game, and my cell phone rang, and it was Grant. And he said, "Hey, Dad, I got good news. I went to church this morning." And he said, "Oh, yeah, Dad, by the way, I was on time." And Heather was like, "What's this all about?" I had to tell her later, okay? How many people know I'm a horrible dad? But, man, that's the value. I want my kids to be in church. And he said, "Oh, yeah, Dad, by the way, the sermon today was awesome. It was better than any of your sermons." He didn't say that, because that $100 would have stopped quick. He said, "Dad, by the way, they had a guy in his 20s got up and shared his story." What do they call that? And I said, "Testimony." He said, "Yeah, he shared his testimony, and he shared a story about how important small groups have been on his spiritual journey." Hint, hint, everyone. And he said, "Hey, Dad, guess what? I signed up to be in a small group." And we're not done yet. He said, "Oh, yeah, Dad, by the way, after church, they had a job fair in the foyer where you could sign up to be involved in the church." And he said, "Dad, I signed up to be on the tech team. And guess what? I'm starting next Sunday." How many people know I could care less about the Steeler and Viking game at this time? How many people know Heather and I are giving air high fives like, "Woo, God, yeah, God's good. Why?" Here's the importance, guys, values. What do you value? What's important to you? Not what you say on a piece of paper, not what you say in your words, but your actions. What's important to you? And the reason why I'm saying this is because in this week I had off, this a couple weeks ago, I was saying, "God, we're in the transition as a church, and God, I really want to get with you. I want to hear from you, God. I want this to be a God thing, not a Mike thing. And God, I really want to know, what is it that you want us to value as a church? God, what do you want to be important to us as a church?" And I got this list of 10, and I think I need to narrow that down, because Craig said if everything's important, nothing will be important, so we got to figure that out. But I'm just waiting on the Lord. God, what's important? What's important? And what I want to do this morning is I want to share one value as a commercial, and then I want to share another value as the message this morning. The one value that we have as a commercial is that we as a church, we value teamwork. Come on, everybody. Why do we value teamwork? Because why? Oh, come on. Everybody together. Teamwork. Oh, come on. How many people have a dream? Oh, great. This is... Okay, here we go. I believe there's a lot of things God wants to do here. I hope you do too. I really do believe that God's just beginning something new here. I believe that with all my heart. And in order for that to happen, I want to let you know, everyone, look at your neighbor and say, "That means you." The right side is being very cooperative today. The left side, Lord bless them, Lord. Say, "That means you." Everyone needs to get involved. It's time to get out of the stands, and it's time to get in the game. Somebody said football is like 10,000 people who are under exercise, sitting in the stands, yelling at about 11 guys that are being over-exercised. And I like that, and I want to just encourage you. If we're going to go forward, it's not the Mike show. The Mike show will bomb. It will fail. Are you hearing me this morning? If this place is going to fly and be all that God wants it to be, you need to look in the mirror when you get home today and say, "It depends upon me. It depends upon me. Yes, Lord, it depends upon me. I got to do something. I need to give him my time. I need to give him my resources. Yes, Lord, it depends upon me because teamwork makes the dream work. In one area where we want your help real quick, and we need to get into the message quickly, we have a monthly fellowship meal. Monthly fellowship meal every month, the third Sunday of the month. How many people enjoy those times together? I love free food. One of my values is never pass up a free meal. In order for these things to happen, you need to get on board. So when we're asking for people to sign up to bring things, you can't just assume everybody else will bring things. We're not going to pray the loaves and a miracle over two loaves and the fishes. You know what I mean? We need everyone to get involved. Another area where you can get involved is every month we're going to have this sheet on the table. It's called Monthly Fellowship Meal. We're looking for five volunteers every month, every month. Hopefully it will be five totally different people every month. We'll sign up your name, your contact information. You're going to help either set up, clean up at the end. And I want you to introduce you to Natalie. Natalie, will you stand quickly? This will be at the back with her. And I want this thing to be filled today. Why? Because why? Teamwork makes the dream work. Okay, is everybody with me? I'm not too convinced today. I'm just not sure why. Everyone got to get involved, okay? So let's give it up, okay? Second thing we value, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of the day this morning. We as a church value God's word. Thank you, Angel. We value God's word. And that's why for the next 6 weeks, we're going to give our attention to a study that Rick Warren just introduced called 40 Days in the Word. And the goal in the 40 Days in the Word is threefold, and that is we want to help every person love the Word, learn the Word, and live the Word. Let me say that again. We want to help every person. We want you to fall in love with God's Word. We want you to learn God's Word, and we want you to live God's Word. So for the next 6 weeks, our primary focus is going to be your Bible. So if you have a Bible by you, let's just hold it up in the air real quick. Everybody say the Bible. Even if it's in the pew rack, pull it out. Let's see God's Word. Everybody hold up a Bible. All right. Let it fly. That's good. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is I want to introduce you to the Bible with some just basic Bible facts that you may not know. But I think when I hear these things, I get pumped. First of all, the word Bible means book. Book. Wow, that's profound. That's deep, okay? But how many people know this book is unlike any other book? Do you know that this book is actually made up of 66 different books? And those 66 books are divided into two testaments. We have what? We have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. How many books are in the Old Testament? Everybody said 39. And how many books are in the New Testament? Do your math real quick. That's 27. So we have this great book, 39, 27. Also, this is very interesting. This Bible that we have is the most read book in history. It's the best-selling book in history. But it's also, and I find this amazing, it's the most translated book in history, the Bible. For example, your Bible that you have today has been translated in its entirety in 531 different languages. 531 different languages have the entirety of the Bible, and there's another almost 2,900 languages. I knew this was going to happen. 2,900 different languages at least have a portion of your Bible. So I want to let you know the Word of God is out there, and it's out there in force. It's out there in power. It's just not English. It's out there in all these different translations. Another thing about the Bible, it was written in a period over, I've heard two different numbers, 1,500 to 1,600 years. I don't know about you, but if you really begin to think about this, it's really quite amazing. The Bible that you have has been written, it wasn't just written, some guy sat down and in a two-year span and he penned his ideas and his thoughts and his philosophies of life and of God. No, it was written in a period of 1,600 years where God used 40, everybody say 40. He used 40 different authors, writers from diverse backgrounds and lifestyles, people who never met each other, knew each other, because here's the deal. It was written on three different continents and three different languages. By the way, do you know the languages? Hebrew, Greek, and what? Aramaic. So this Bible you have is just, it's an incredible book. And here's the deal, and I want you to get this. This should get you almost elevating out of your seat when you hear this one. Is everybody ready? The subject of the Bible is is what? Everybody say that together again. Jesus. The subject of the Bible, if you start in Genesis and you work all the way through those 39 books in the Old Testament, then you pick up the 27 and you go all the way to Revelation, there's one common subject, and the subject is Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. And here's the thing, the verb of the Bible, does anybody want to take a stab at the verb? Starts with a G. Good thought, but give. Everybody say give. Give. How many people know God gave? He gave His Son, His one and only Son. How many people know Jesus gave? He gave His what? Life. How many people know we're called as Jesus ambassadors to do what? To give, to serve. We're called to not hold on to things. We are not hold on to things type of people. You got it this morning? We're the type of people that when God gives, we give. As God blesses, we bless. As He pours out unto us, we pour out into other people. It's not hold on to, hoard. Let's do that. No, it's God, You gave to me. Freely I've received, freely I give. We're following the example of Jesus, of God. That's the verb of the whole Bible. Woo! I'm talking quick this morning, aren't I? Is everybody having a good time? Say, you bet. Keep going. All right. And what I want to do now is I just want to share with you quickly why we value this book. Those were facts. Now we're going to talk about why we value this book. And here it is, guys. It's really simple why we value this book. And write it down. It's because the Bible is the Word of God. That's profound, isn't it? Think about this. The Bible is the Word of God. Paul, who is now an elderly gentleman in the faith, is writing a letter to a younger guy in the faith that's going to carry the torch. And his name is Timothy. And Paul writes this beautiful verse in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Paul says to Timothy, he says, hey, Timothy, all Scripture. Everybody say all. All Scripture is what? Inspired by God, and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what's right. I want you to get this, you guys, because this is so powerful. And we got to keep this, we got to be intentional about keeping this as the value of our church. Paul says the Bible, he says this about the Bible, all 66 books are inspired by who? Everybody together. God. Okay. So think about that. What does that mean? It means that these 40 writers that were involved in writing the Bible, let's just listen to some of their occupation. Within those 40 writers, there were poets, there were prophets, there were princesses, there were kings, there were sailors, there were soldiers, there were attorneys, there were doctors, there were farmers, there were scholars, there were shepherds, there were priests, there were historians, there were fishermen. There were even people from the IRS, tax collectors. Amen. And there were businessmen. And I want to let you know, when they sat down to write these books that make up the Bible, it's not like they were posting a blog. Are you hearing me this morning? They weren't sitting down saying, well, I'm going to share my views of God. I'm going to share my views of how I interpret creation, how I interpret the cross, how I interpret God's love. They weren't sitting down writing out their own ideas. Okay? They're not writing what they wanted to write. I want everybody to hear this. These 40 people weren't writing what they wanted to write, but they were given direction by who? By God. They're given direction by God to write through the Holy Spirit. So they're given direction by God what to write through the person of the Holy Spirit. So they're sitting down and they're being led what to write by the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but that kind of gives me goosebumps. The people, ordinary people like you and me, that go to a lot of different workplaces throughout the week, a lot of different occupations, they had a visitation of the Holy Spirit of God, and He used people. Because why? God works through people. Even when it came to the writing of the Scripture, God used people. And if it would have been today, it might have been people just like you, just like me. And here's the deal. Look at this verse, 2 Peter 1. Write this down. Peter says this. He says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture came from the prophet's own understanding. It didn't come from human initiative. No, those prophets, everybody read this together, they were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. So they're sitting down, they're moved by the Holy Spirit, they spoke from God. And it's because of their obedience and willingness to be used by God that we have the Bible that we have today. I find that very, very incredible. Somebody said it this way, there may be 40 writers, but there was only what? One author. And who's the author? God. 40 writers, it could have been you, but there was only one author, and the author was God. So as a result, what we have is we have what theologians called, the scripture is called, has anybody ever heard this terminology? It's called infallible. Has anybody ever heard the word infallible? Meaning the Bible that you have access to, many of you probably have at least 5 or 6 copies of the Bible in your home. That Bible is the Word of God. It's infallible. And that word infallible means it's incapable of mistake. It's incapable of mistake. A lot of people say, well, there's all kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Contradictions in Scripture. Thank you. No, the Bible's infallible. It's incapable of mistake. It means it's never wrong. It's never wrong. I don't care what the culture says. Does everybody hear me this morning? It's never wrong. It's completely true. It's certain not to fail. Meaning if you live by the Word, it won't let you down. How many people are pumped by that? If you live by the Word, it won't let you down. And I love that because life is really simple. We've really complicated it. If you want a good life, this is all you need to do. Read the Bible and then do it. That's success, my friends. It will never let you down. Read the Bible, do it, and life will not be easy, but it will always be good. Amen? We mess it up because we listen to culture. We listen to our neighbors. We listen to the media. Folks, we need to get out of Facebook and get our face in the book. I heard another preacher say that, and he said a lot better than I did. But we need to be in the book, okay? So what we're going to do in closing is I'm going to just share with you 3 thoughts concerning the Bible. Why the Bible? Why the Bible? Okay, number one, write these down real quick. By the way, I had sermon notes for you, but we didn't have enough toner. Isn't that sad? Who's supposed to order that toner? Come on, Mike, get on it. Amen. By the way, JP, it's great to have you back. Man, it's great to have you back. Good to be back. Congratulations on a great year. Let's look at these 3 things real quick. The Bible. Why the Bible? 3 thoughts. Number one, the Bible. Why the Bible? Number one, the Bible is God's revelation of himself to us. How many people want to know God? Don't raise your hand. But how many people? I want to know God. I mean, who is this creator? Who is this God where the Bible says in Psalms that heaven is his throne and this earth where we sit is our footstool, his footstool? Wow. Who is God? Well, this is why God gave us the Bible. It's a revelation to us of himself. Because here's the deal, you guys. God wants you to know him. Your creator wants you to know him. His heartbeat, his pulse, his passion is that you will know him. And what he does is he reveals himself to us. He reveals, meaning things that aren't seen. He wants to reveal those things. And he reveals himself to us in 4 ways. Write these down. Number one, God reveals himself to us through nature. Has anybody ever seen God on a starry night? And you look up and there's got to be like millions of stars and you think, wow. Everybody just say that together, wow. Or how many people have sat at their cabin at the lake and you saw a sunset over the lake? All you have seen that, give thanks for your cabin, okay? But how many people see those things and they say, wow, there's got to be something bigger than us. That's called God revealing himself through nature. Another way that God reveals himself to us is through our conscience. It's through our conscience. By the way, every time you sin and you don't repent of that sin, you know what you're doing? Something very dangerous. Your conscience is becoming seared, hardened, and you're no longer feeling the conviction. That's why when we sin, we need to make a quick repentance of our sin so that our conscience can be pure before God, because he reveals himself through our conscience. Another way that God reveals himself to us is through his Son. And everybody said his name is Jesus. How many people remember that verse in the Bible where Jesus, speaking to the people, says, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's Jesus coming to people in flesh saying, you want to know what God looks like? Check me out. Miracles, power, grace, mercy, kindness, love. That's all me. I'm just showing you what Jesus or what the Father looks like. And the 4th way that God reveals himself to us is through the Bible. He gives us his word so that we can have an accurate understanding, revelation of who he is. For example, let me throw 3 at you like darts real quick. In Genesis 22:14, God reveals himself to us as our provider. Does anybody know that name in the Hebrew? His name is what? Jehovah Jireh. Remember, Abraham was about ready to sacrifice his son. He has the knife in his hand. He's ready to kill his son. And God says, whoa, 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 stop. Don't kill your son. And he does what? He provides for him. What a sacrifice. And on that moment, God says, I am what? I am Jehovah Jireh. I will provide all of your needs. The writer of Philippians, Paul says, and my God shall supply all your needs. All your needs. All your needs. How many people have a need this morning? You have Jehovah Jireh. He supplies all your needs. All your needs. So let's not confuse wants with needs. He will meet all of our needs. Amen? Second thing we learn about God in Scripture as He reveals Himself. Here's an interesting one. Jehovah Raha. Jehovah Raha, meaning the Lord is my shepherd. What's a shepherd do? You know, what does a shepherd do? He leads, he provides, he protects. God's revealing Himself in the 23rd Psalms. Everybody knows verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God is doing what? He's revealing to us here today that we have this great shepherd. And He'll lead us, He'll guide, He'll provide. All we need to do is say, Lord, I'll follow Your leading. I'll follow Your leadership, Your guidance. That word is also translated, He'll be our friend, He'll be our companion. God is saying, I want to reveal to my people who I am. I'm not this God that's way off in the cosmos, kind of just waiting to see how this all unfolds. No, we have a God, everybody, are you hearing me this morning, who is personally involved in your life. Amen? He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your companion. He loves you, because that's one of the third one I wanted to look at. In 1 John 4:16, God says this about Himself. It says, God is love. God is love. How many people know today God loves you? And it's not based upon your performance. Oh, I had a good week. God loves me more. Or if you're like me, how many people are good at beating themselves up from time to time? Oh, God, I had a horrible week. How could You love me? Well, that's who God is. He loves us unconditionally. Amen? He loves us unconditionally. I want to tell somebody here today that God loves you just as you are. But I also want to tell you this. He loves you so much, He doesn't want to leave you just as you are. He wants to take you to a greater place. Amen? So all throughout Scripture, God's revealing Himself to people. And that's why pastors all around the world today are telling people, hey, make sure you get in your Bible this week. It's not because we want to throw some heavy legalistic thing on you. We want to say, hey, God wants to show you Himself. And the way that He's going to show Himself to you, He's going to show Himself to you by His Word. How many people want to know God more? Hey, open the book. That's why we're going to do this series. We want to find out how much God loves us. Number two, why we have another thought. The Bible, look at it on the screen. The Bible is a divinely authoritative guide for our faith, our belief, and the way of living. That's why God gives us the Bible. You want to know how you live your life successfully? You want to know how you live your life in peace? You want to know how to go do this? He says, hey, you lead your life, you live your life, and allow the Bible to be your guide. That's why Paul says back to our verse, the Bible is inspired. It teaches us what's true, makes us realize what's wrong. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't lie. Don't steal. That's going to mess your life up. Don't commit adultery. That will mess you up. It corrects us when we're wrong. It teaches us to do what's right. Folks, we have the Bible. God's given us the Bible to say, hey, guys, you want to figure out life? Get in my book. Get in my book. And if you get in my book and you live this out, your life is going to be much, much better. Let me ask you that this morning. Don't answer. Don't give any response whatsoever. But do you believe that? Do you believe that? See, I have people all the time that come up to me and they have a difficult topic. They say, Pastor Mike, I want to hear your stance on this difficult topic. And they want to hear what I have to say. But you know what? It doesn't matter what I have to say. You don't need to know what I think about people who are sleeping together before marriage. You don't need to come to me. You can go to the authority of God's Word. Amen? Are you hearing me this morning? It doesn't matter what I think. I'm just like you. I'm messed up. I'm flawed. Welcome to church this morning. But I will do this. I'll point you to God's Word and say, hey, I can show you some verses where God has spoken through these writers. He has spoken to you today, and it's relevant today. It's not outdated today. Are you hearing me this morning? Folks, this is why we're valuing the Word of God here at this church. Because our culture is going the opposite direction than the Word. And we need to be people who are in the Word. Because I want to let you know, difficult times are coming. And you say, Mike, can't you be more positive? I'm positive difficult times are coming. And I tell you what, the people that are going to stand through the difficult times are those who are rooted and planted in God's Word. And God loves you today. And He cares for you today. And He's given you His Word today to show you how to live life free of all the heartaches and pains and the anxieties. He's given you His Word. And I want to let you know the Word is under attack today. People are making the Word of God seem like it's foolishness, like it's not relevant anymore. It's, come on, Pastor, it's 2017. I don't care. God's Word's still good today. God's Word is still relevant for you today as it was the day that those people sat down and they started to pen these verses. It's for you. God loves you. And I want you to hear my heart today. God cares for you immensely. And God wants your best more than you can imagine. God wants your best. And He's showing you how this works if you just get into this book. And you'll begin to learn it. And you'll begin to live it out. You'll be amazed with what God can do. Are you hearing me this morning? Can you hear my heart for you this morning? And here's the third reason we're going to close this morning. My fact, my thought about the Bible, and this is what is so beautiful about the Bible, that I hope somebody will stand on their pew and just shout to God with victory. By the way, don't do that, okay? The primary message of the Bible is this. Everybody say redemption. You pick it up all the way. It begins in Genesis 3, guys, all the way from the time when Adam and Eve failed. We pick up this story of redemption all the way from Genesis to Revelation, that God wants us to know redemption is only available through who? Through Jesus. So every writer that sat down over a 1,600-year span, they would have never figured this out on their own. No way. But they figured it out because God was leading them and saying, hey, I want the people to know that through your writing, through your letter, through your book, there's always hope. There's always forgiveness of sin. And that forgiveness of sin is going to come through my Son, Jesus Christ. See, the whole Old Testament is doing what? Pointing ahead. There's one's coming. His name is, everybody. Then we have the Gospels pointing to. And then we have all those New Testament writers. What? Jesus. And that's the beauty of this book. It's all about redemption. That there is forgiveness of sins from Genesis to Revelation. 40 writers, 1,600 years. So as you read the Bible and you live life, you're faced with one big question, and we're closing with this statement. As you're reading the Bible, you're faced with one question in life. And this is the question that we talked about 2 weeks ago. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And the question of the Great White Throne Judgment will be what? What did you do with Jesus? I've given you 66 books. I've given you all these different translations. You Americans, you have been truly blessed. Many of you have more copies of the Bible in your house than you have people in your house. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And the question is, you guys, what will you do with Jesus? That's really the question of the Bible. Will you reject Christ or will you receive Christ? Will you say, well, I'll do it my own way? Or, Jesus, I humbly bow my knee and I accept you as the Savior and the Lord of my life. Amen? Can I encourage us as a church today, let's be people of the Word. I know you college students are very busy people. I know you professionals are very busy people. I know you coaches and teachers, you're very busy people. We're all busy. How many people know that even pastors are busy? But let's not try to be so busy that we neglect the Word of God. Now, I want to let you know, I'm not saying you got to sit down and you got to read for 20 minutes every day. I'm just saying, would you just start on this journey with us by maybe just starting to read one of the Gospels? Choose between Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They're giving an account of what they saw in Jesus. Maybe you'll read a proverb of the day. Maybe you'll read a psalm of the day. Folks, will you just consider allowing this life-giving book into your life? Because next week we're going to see how this book can change you from the inside out. Amen? And I want us not to be neglectful of God's Word. I want us to be embracing God's Word. So can we bow our heads this morning? I'm excited for everyone that's involved in this journey. Sunday mornings, you're in a small group. Folks, we're going to be one thing. We're just going to dive into this, learning how to study this book so that we can have a better understanding of the book that God's given us. that reveals His Son, that reveals life, that reveals who He is. So, Lord, I just ask, God, as we begin this journey, I've been praying all week. I think of that verse, and I think it's Ephesians 3:20, where Paul says, "Now to Him who is able to do more than we could ask or even think." God, I'm stepping out in faith this morning, and I'm asking, God, would You in this campaign do more than I can ask or even think? God, may You do amazing things in individuals. May You do amazing things in families. God, may You do amazing things in this church. God, our world is pulling us so hard to make the Bible look like it's a big joke, like it's an outdated book. But God, we stand against that in Jesus' name. And God, we hold on to Your word. It's Your word for us today. And Lord, I just pray that You do something powerful through this campaign. God, I pray that You'll use the small groups, that the content would be enlightening to us. But Lord, also use those relationships as people come to gather for the next 6 weeks in different homes, even here in the church. Pray that the relationships will be strengthened. Pray that You will do amazing things. And Lord, I just thank You for this church. I just thank You for the privilege of pastoring these people. And Lord, I know that they're Your people. I know that this is Your church. And God, I just want to ask as their pastor, Lord, that You would just do something great in this church. God, that You'll do something new, that You'll do something exciting. God, that You'll take us places where we've never been before. And God, I just thank You for the people here that make up this church. God, we all have something in common, and that is we need hope. And our only hope is in You. And we just thank You and praise You for this great day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen. Well, we stand to our feet mourning.